My name's Michelle Owoo and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date is the 3rd of August 2009 and it's 11:19 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
My name's Amanda Barry. I'm 28 until the end of this week and I come from Harrow in Middlesex.
How are you?
I'm very good.
How did you first hear about this project? Can you remember?
I received an email from my friend actually saying that I should go up for this, and then I saw loads of press about it, and I'm a bit of an arts fan and I know about Anthony Gormley's work, so dead up for getting on board and having a go.
What was it particularly, do you think, about this project that kind of made you want to take part?
I don't know, I kind of entered it in a spur of the moment thing, not really having a clue what I was going to do and was not expecting in any way to get called up to do it. You can tell that I'm a bit of a showman. I like to sort of get out and entertain people a little bit. So, yeah, I guess that's it.
You describe what you're wearing for me, please.
I'm wearing a red sparkly bikini and basically last year's Notting Hill carnival costume, courtesy of Trinity Posse UK. Lots of feathers.
And what are you going to be doing with your hair on the plinth?
We're going to be playing a very thought-provoking game of bingo with the crowd. All the numbers that are part of my bingo to do with interesting facts about the state of the world. So we're going to try and get people to consider more about the world that they live in, and we'll give them the opportunity to maybe feel a bit inspired and really go out and do something positive for the world afterwards. I hope that would be nice.
What kind of messages are you saying about the world?
Well, for example, the number 10 is the fact related to number 10 is that Americans spend $10 billion a year on pornography, and that's the same amount that they spend on foreign aid. So, yeah, those kinds of things. Just to get people sort of aware of the fact that, you know, yeah, times might be a bit hard over here, but it's nothing compared to what people in developing countries are going through. So maybe we should try and give a little bit and be a bit responsible for that kind of thing. And we want to do it in... I didn't want to do it on the plinth and stand on my soapbox and shout at people. So we'll try and do it in a fun, entertaining kind of way.
So. Why is that something that's close to your heart?
I've always been really interested in development. I think the first thing I remember getting really into it as when I was 14 years old, seeing the news about the Rwandan genocide, and since then I've kind of focused all my studies and my work and everything into trying to help people in the developing world. So,
What does your job involve? Can you tell me a bit more about your role?
Well, not really, because I work for the Department for International Development, and as much as people are well up for this on an informal basis, there's nothing official going on as far as they're concerned, but the Department for International Development work really hard. I mean, the government comes in for an awful lot of stick, but the Department for International Development do an amazing, good job with, you know, the politics with which they're restricted by, and they do as much as they possibly can to sort of give as much money as they can and support as many projects as they can in the developing world to make people's lives better. I mean, in terms of, you know, like the Millennium Development Goals, some of them are a long way off and they were very, very ambitious targets, but for example, the number 88 relates to the fact that 88% of children are now in primary education across the world, and that's a fantastic thing that's only been achieved by, you know, on a large scale, national governments and the UN and the World Bank and other big organisations like that really focusing their efforts and, you know, pulling together and trying to build up the lives of people in these countries, because they really, really need it. I mean, people sort of have all kinds of aspersions over these people, saying that, you know, they should be doing more for themselves and blah blah blah, but if you can't read or write, you can't go to work. If you've got to spend 40 billion hours of a year collectively in Africa spent on fetching water, then you can't go to work. You need to fetch that water. So there's a lot that needs to be done, and I think we need to take responsibility. You know, we get a lot from these people. I mean, the reason that you can buy a £3 t-shirt from Primark is because, you know, we reap the benefits of their subjugation. So it's important that we do what we can, and I hope that by doing this might be able to inspire a few people to go away today, and even if they do just one little thing, then that's cool.
Have you brought along anybody else with you today?
I'm hoping to get a bit of a crowd. My boyfriend's coming along later, and my friend's father, she's coming along to help me hand out bingo cards, and we've had a little Facebook event on, so it's been sort of publicised amongst my friends, and I've got the best slot. I mean, the lunch hour slot in London is great, so I'm hoping a lot of my friends will be able to take their lunch hour and come down and come check it out and have some fun playing bingo. Rock.
What's been the reaction to you taking part?
I think a lot of them aren't entirely surprised as to what the kind of plan that I've managed to hatch. I'm a bit of an exhibitionist, so they're kind of aware of that. And usually it's after a few drinks down the pub, but you know, we can do this stuff sober as well, it's fine.
How else would you describe yourself as a person? You said you're an exhibitionist.
I don't know, very passionate and very kind of, you know, concerned and aware, very, you know, very aware of everything. I'm a bit of an internationalist, you know. We live in a big old world. It's not just, people think about they live in their town or they live in their country or, you know, even living in Europe or whatever. And so much of, like, if you watch the news or whatever, it's so kind of ethnocentric and focused on America and Europe, and we don't hear about what goes on in the rest of the world. I mean, the kind of tragedies that get reported in the news and nothing compared to what goes on in the rest of the world. So, yeah, I'm very aware of all that kind of stuff that goes on, and passionate about sort of the fact that, I mean, I'm not very well off. I'm not like a ridiculously rich person that needs to get their moats cleaned on expenses or anything, but I have enough, and I think, you know, people are generally good people, you know, people would, you know, made aware and in the right ways, then they would want to help, they would want to do stuff. So, you know, even if it's just a matter of writing one letter or signing one petition or giving a few quid to a good charity, I think that's important, and I hope that I can encourage people to do that. So, yeah, you know, that's what we do. I mean, I raise a lot of money for charity. It's the kind of thing that I've been involved with for many years now, doing that kind of thing, so this seemed like a fairly logical progression.
What do you tend to do to raise money for charity events?
I run a pub quiz at my local pub, and I guess I'm kind of treating this a bit like a great big pub quiz on a slightly larger scale. I've done skydive last year. I mean, I've got a massive fear of heights, so these kinds of things. I mean, even getting on that plinth, I was kind of looking on it thinking, mm-hmm. But, you know, overcoming that, and that's all kind of part of what you do, you know, you suffer a tiny, tiny little bit and get this amazing sort of feeling and out of it, and if some good can come out of that beyond my own personal enjoyment and fulfilment, then that's cool. I'm up for that.
Just going back to what you said about the Notting Hill Carnival, how did you get involved with that?
A friend of mine went out to the Caribbean and did a big tour of all the carnivals out there, and met the guy that runs the Trinity Posse UK float over here in Notting Hill, and he does other carnivals. I was looking at his Facebook profile of photos of the Rotterdam Carnival quite recently. So he goes all around and does carnivals, and one of the greatest experiences of my life, without a shadow of a doubt, going out there, dressed in what I'm wearing, exposing myself to hundreds of thousands of people, and having a really, really good time, and yeah, having a dance. I mean, I danced for 4.5 miles over the case of 8 hours, and I couldn't move for about a week afterwards, but it was awesome, absolutely awesome experience. And I think this is kind of what this sort of thing's about, you know, getting out there and experiencing stuff and doing stuff, even if it makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable, just go for it, because you'll feel so much better afterwards.
Is that the first time you've done the carnival?
That's the first time I've done the carnival, yes. I'm hoping, definitely would love to do it again, absolutely. So maybe not this year, funds are a bit tight. I'm off to Africa at the end of the year for a music festival in Malawi called Lake of Stars, which is organised by a couple of chaps who basically went out on a gap year, found somewhere to put up a stage, and book loads of African bands to perform on a beach on the shores of Lake Malawi, which is going to be an incredible experience. First time out to Africa, and I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great.
Do you have to travel part of your job?
Not so much, but I hope to eventually. A lot of what I'm doing at the moment is communications based, so I will be publishing very soon the Gender Equality Action Plan, which is all about Africa's work in Africa Division's work in gender and how we make sure that all of our projects and programs are gender responsive and take into account the impact that projects and programs have, not just on a general level, but specifically the differences between men and women. So, for example, if you build toilets and provide sanitation in schools, then 11% more girls will stay on in school as a result of that. It's the sort of thing people don't really think about, but very little things like that will make a huge difference to lives of women who are quite often the poorest people in the world. So, yeah, it's really interesting stuff.
How do you find out this information? Who is it that feeds back the information to you?
We've done a lot of consultations with different NGOs that operate in and around Africa. We work quite closely with a lot of development partners, larger and smaller, so people like the World Bank and the UN and other organisations like that. And gender is a really hot topic at the moment, and we want to build on that momentum and really kind of push to make sure that all projects, and so it becomes inherent in development practice, so that all people, all projects and all programmes will inherently consider whether or not their programme as it stands will have different impacts on men and women, and how gender equality can be factored into any sort of project design, and that'll affect the sort of funds that projects will get, you know, so it's really good.
How long have you been working in international development?
I've been working officially in international development for about a year and a half, but I've worked, I participated, for example, I did the OxJam music event a couple of years back. Oxfam do an event in October called OxJam, where they invite people to participate in music events, put on their own music events and raise money for Oxfam, and that way, you know, it raises the profile and it raises funds for the charity, and it's a great way to engage people, because a lot of people think that getting involved with a charity can be quite a stuffy or formal kind of thing. Then, you know, getting involved with a music event was a really great, and I run music pub quizzes at my pub where we worked at the time, but it's a good local pub. I get very involved with all the stuff that they do there. So yeah, we raised a good few hundred quid over the course of a month, which was great. I've been involved in their campaigning on a voluntary basis. I've worked for various different charities. I worked for Marie Curie Cancer Care for a couple of years, and things like the Skydive, sponsored Skydive, that was for Marie Curie. So I'm just a sucker for a good cause, really. Anything that's cool, you know.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
I can't think of anything other than I'm a little bit nervous and feeling a little exposed right now, but hey, that's all part of it, isn't it, really? Let's go for it.
What are you nervous about, do you think?
I don't know. The height of the plinth, for a start. I hope people will engage with what I'm doing and join in and have some fun. And I don't think I'm doing anything so controversial I'm going to get abused or anything, so that's cool. I was worried about getting thrown tomatoes out or something. I mean, at least tomatoes will match the outfit. That's always that. Wicked.
Thank you very much.